The CIO of an organization straddles two worlds, the technical world and the business world. That CIO looks over a sea of problems in an environment focused on solutions. With the pace of business ever increasing, how can these competing needs ever be reconciled? I'm Paul Landcor with PodTech.net. And in this series of podcasts, CIO Dilemmas, Frank Boutendyke, Vice President for Corporate Strategy for Hyperion, says if we're to find answers, we need to examine the problems more closely. He's distilled this down to four common dilemmas, each to be examined in a separate podcast. Our first discussion was an overview of Frank's thinking on the matter, defining terms and outlining strategies. In this second podcast, we focus on the first of the four common dilemmas, bridging cost control and growth.
Well, I'm happy we're starting with this particular dilemma, bridging cost control and growth, because this shows exactly what I tried to point out in the introductory podcast, the first podcast already, that if you didn't listen to it by now, I would encourage you to listen first, because this is a dilemma that we all know and we have solved in most, or are solving in most of our businesses today. It shows that dilemma-based thinking is not that hard or as scary as you would think, because the key to this is standardization. And I haven't come across a CIO in the last 18 months that doesn't have significant standardization projects going on. Standardization in hardware, standardization in parties that you work with, such as software vendors and consulting firms, and also standardization in business applications, and particularly in our market, the market of business intelligence and business performance management. Standardization is the hot issue that many CIOs are working on and sometimes also struggling with.
But standardization is a very difficult thing. I mean, if you look at a lot of organizations, they have fragmentation in their hardware, infrastructure, databases, applications. They have a portfolio of vendors with which they work. How did organizations become such a fragmented mess in the first place that they need so much more standardization?
Well, as always with most things in life, there's always a multitude of reasons why things happen. It's things coming together. Most of our organizations today are trying to centralize a little bit as well, as they come from a phase where many of the business processes and strategy implementation were decentralized. And if you decentralize IT, for instance, that leads to decentralized budgets, decentralized spending, and decentralized tool choices. That in combination with, for instance, politics, it is not always in the best interest of the people on the middle management to standardize, certainly not when it is about management information, because that will bring the one version of the truth that we all say we want, but in our hearts fear, because we can't choose the version anymore that fits our particular situation best. By blaming, quote-unquote, the tools that we have, the fragmented tools that we have, we can live the advantages of such a fragmented situation. So it is something that, with a political sense, we have grown into as well. Then there's other reasons, for instance, mergers and acquisitions, where we need to live with a fragmented portfolio of tools, as one party of the newly merged company had tool A and the other side had tool B. So as you can see, there's lots of different reasons why in many large organizations there simply is a lot of IT fragmentation.
Well, I think it's relatively apparent how standardization can save money for an organization, but it doesn't seem as clear how it can also lead to the growth of an organization. So how can it do both?
Well, indeed, it is clear how it saves costs, but indeed, leading to growth perhaps is even more important. And the answer to that is in strategic alignment. If you look at modern management literature and the key to success in today's world, it is by focusing the resources that we have and distinguish from the competition. One of the key ways of winning in the competitive world is by distinguishing yourself. And that can only be done by a strong focus and aligning the resources and the people that we have. With alignment, in this case, I mean that we all understand our objectives, that we understand what is important, our priorities, and that we truly understand what our contribution is to those overall goals. Now, not only do we need to understand what our contribution is to the overall goal, but also what our contribution is to our peers in the organization that also need to contribute to the same goal, because that is when we create synergetic effects. And that is why it is so important that we talk about the same data, the same performance indicators, that we use the same definitions, that we use the same reference data, or in other words, master data. And that shows why it is so important to use the same business intelligence. If we don't speak the same language, we won't be able to focus and to align.
Now, Frank, you do work for an organization called Hyperion Solutions, and we're spending a lot of time here talking about dilemmas. But now that you've laid out the dilemma of bridging cost control and growth pretty clearly for us, I'm wondering if you can explain to us what solution for business intelligence to this problem might look like, if you don't mind talking about solutions a little bit.
That is really funny indeed. We're talking about dilemmas and that we shouldn't immediately jump on a solution, but we should understand the problem at hand first. And that comes indeed from a guy working for Hyperion Solutions. But rest assured, we do understand the problems that our customers are facing. The solution overall is indeed standardization. But of course, you need to have a standard that is able to cover the requirements of most constituents. Now, of course, everyone always claims to do everything for everyone, but we all know that is sometimes a little bit too much of marketing. In reality, there is no such thing as the best tool for everything. So we need to have a little bit of a portfolio. And this portfolio needs to consist of a number of things. First of all, in BI, there needs to be a strong information consumption layer. We need to have different ways of disseminating the information to our audience, the users, and different ways of consuming it. Sometimes that requires a dashboard. If you need to have an overview and a glance of the strategic performance indicators in the organization, sometimes that is a highly analytical environment where you can slice and dice through more detailed information, figuring out why stuff is happening. In many cases, it is as simple as a standard static report. With everyone gets their little bit of information, then there's only one particular way of interpreting it. Then the different ways of disseminating and consuming the information, there's many different ways. However, it is equally important to have a strong information production layer. BI is not about the front end alone. It's not about the report, but what's in it. If we want to have better alignment and better focus in our organization, we need to be smarter than the competition. That means we need to have more insights. So we need to have a layer in our BI environment that helps us to come to those smarter insights by producing smarter numbers. Now, of course, there's a lot of data in our organizations and a lot of smarter numbers that we need to manage. So there's an information management layer as well, and that is where we make sure that we all use the same definitions and we all use the same reference, or in other words, master data. Lastly, and here it comes, I would like to bring it back to the point where I started. There may be multiple tools that you need for that, so you need to work with an open environment. BI is not a silo. By nature, it is an integration technology for management information. So you need to be able, in Hyperion's environment, to also have non-Hyperion elements for very specific, very particular needs that perhaps other users feel that they are best served with.
So I'm a CIO, and I acknowledge what you say, that my organization is fairly fragmented and we need to move to a more standardized organization. Where do I start to do that? This isn't going to happen overnight, I would imagine.
That's true. And we need to look at human behavior again, as everything in the end boils down to that. There's basically two major drivers for change, which are pleasure and pain. So pain, for instance, would be the enormous cost of having multiple solutions and not being able to work with each other or meeting the tight deadlines by having to move data from one system to another to make sure that we don't make mistakes, etc. So creating a standard would really be helpful and is easily accepted if the pain is really high and the deadlines are just incredibly tight. But there's also the pleasure side. If it allows you to collaborate better with your colleagues, or if you're, for instance, as a procurement department responsible for a strategic relationship with your supplier and you need to exchange information, then it'll help you make your targets and make your objectives, to reach your objectives by using the same information with the stakeholders that you deal with. So pleasure and pain help you identify the first areas where you could standardize. So, okay, you migrate, you standardize, but there's always pockets of users that perhaps would like to hold on to their own tools, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes also for a little bit of a hidden agenda. There are multiple versions of the truth. And in those cases, maybe it's about education, trying to sketch the bigger picture, a little bit more of persuasion, like having a corporate process that people have to follow, making sure that those processes grow at the expense of the homegrown systems. And, well, in the end, sometimes you have to take a little bit more of an unpopular decision and simply just switch old systems off. It is really hard to achieve that, but it is necessary in order to create a standard. Standards are for the greater good, but are not always recognized as the best solution for everyone individual. And that is, by the way, in itself a dilemma that you need to face.
Yeah, it does seem to be a part of all of what you're saying here is that the way to empower individuals in small groups within an organization is to create standardization across the entire organization. And that's kind of counterintuitive for a lot of people and maybe difficult for them to accept.
Yes, and that's exactly, I think, is the dilemma-based thinking can help us there. Now, if you look into what dilemmas mean, a difficult choice of some sorts, we need to find ways how to bridge that, and standardization is the dilemma here. The interesting thing about dilemmas is the moment you have solved a dilemma by a bridge, in this case standardization, immediately a new dilemma unfolds. Particularly in this case, that would be if we have a standard, how will we deal with the very specific functionality and very specific technologies that are not part of the standard? Will they be custom built within the standard? Will you allow specialist packaged applications? Will it be a combination of both? And that, indeed, is the new dilemma that unfolds. And, of course, I do not claim to have all the answers, at least not for you today.
But that is a really good overview of this particular dilemma and some of your ideas around it. So thanks again for joining us today, Frank.
You're welcome. This is a lot of fun.
Get in on the conversation. Check out Frank's blog at blogs.hyperion.com/frankb. In our next podcast, we'll examine the next dilemma in the series, Bridging IT Governance and Business Governance. Subscribe now or go to www.hyperion.com for more information. And thanks for listening.